Three things you need to know this hour. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, let's start with number one. Yesterday, we were wondering what's going on with our checks.
Yeah.
Remember, we were like, hey, everybody's going to get money. Like, how much money we were going to get? And we were kind of curious about it.
They're talking about money. I want to know if I'm actually going to see any.
Yeah. This is Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin talking about not really getting checks, but this.
You know, I refer to this as checks in the mail, but it's really money direct deposited. Most people, we have all their information.
No, I think that's a little bit weird that they have all our information.
If you pay taxes,
I guess you have to.
Yeah, and right? You e-file, yeah. And then, you know, I want my money right in there.
Just dump it right in?
Yeah.
Well, how much are you getting?
$1,000 per person, $500 per child. So for a family of four, that's a $3,000 payment. Soon as Congress passes this, we'd get this out in 3 weeks.
And, of course, there's strings attached to that. So it depends on how much you make, which
right.
We had a feeling was probably going to be coming along with that.
Sure, of course.
And from what I understand and the information that was shared was that if you make over $99,000, you ain't getting anything.
I saw $150,000 per couple or something like that if you're filing jointly. You know, household is going to make it. It's going to be part of it.
And if you make less than, I think it was like $35,000, then you'll get less too. But if you make between like $35,000 and $75,000, then you'll get the full amount from
what I
understand.
If you make less than $35,000, you should probably get some, right?
Well, right. You get some, but you don't get the full amount.
Oh.
That's the whole thing.
It seems to me that people needs it the most, Raimi.
Well.
Right?
And if you weren't working before.
Oh, so you're calling those people a bum, huh? That's what you're doing?
I'm not calling them a bum.
See that? This is why you don't work in the Treasury Department.
Right.
Continue with the news.
Number two, things you need to know this hour. California Governor Gavin Newsom, he expanded his orders to stay at home.
Yeah.
A number of days ago, there were six Bay Area counties that led with stay-at-home orders. Now, as I speak, some 21.3 million Californians reside in a community that have similar orders.
Basically, California is on lockdown.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to stay home right now.
You know what was really jarring to me was he had this press conference last night and locked it down effective as of midnight. So, you know, at this point, that's 3 hours ago or, 3 hours ago in California. And you really had very little warning. You know, if you were paying attention to the signs, I guess you could say maybe you saw this coming, but you're living in the state and you're seeing this happening in other counties and cities and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, I still got time to get supplies or whatever. Now it's, you know, he makes this announcement and 4 hours later, the state is effectively shut down.
Here's what I don't understand. So we are not officially on lockdown.
Right.
Right. But we're pretty much on lockdown. Like, nobody leaves. I went to the grocery store yesterday, and you still can go to the grocery store, get your medical supplies in California, just like you can do it here. But there is a sense of go home, stay at home.
There
is. So I feel like you had to know this was coming at some point, and you're probably somewhat prepared. But even if you're not, it's not like you can't run to Stop and Shop and grab the canned foods you need.
You can tell yourself today that you're prepared, though. But, if that was to change in the next 24 to 48 hours, think about how jarring that would be for people here, too. And there is another level to this.
Hmm. And the third thing you need to know is that Netflix has agreed to reduce streaming bit rates to Europe so that we don't break the internet.
I'm glad that Europe is going to pay the price for the rest of us so that we can watch The Friends run, Breaking Bad, everything from episode one. I mean, that makes sense.
When I first heard that they were going to slow it down, I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? And then they were like, Europe? I'm like, oh, I'm good with that. That's good. Because too bad for them. They can figure it out themselves. That's
Are they
their
still
problem.
Churning their own butter? This doesn't make sense.
This doesn't, yeah, no, we're good here. Yep.
Thanks for the update.
Drive-through testing is ramping up as more facilities are opening and being able to service those that are sick. It's Anna and Raven. But what's it actually like to go through one of these drive-through places? Joining us, it's Jess.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. My co-host Raven's here, too.
Hello.
Hey, I have to say that you are our first person that we've chatted with who actually went through the testing process. So what was it like?
It was really not a big deal. I mean, we went to the Bridgeport Testing Center. They tell you to arrive no more than 5 minutes before your scheduled time. We pulled right up to the address we were given. We were met by a security person who took our names, called down to the tent, which was inside of a parking garage. We pulled down to the tent, showed our ID through the window. They then instructed me to roll down my window, shoved a tissue at me to cover my mouth, and then stuck a very long and highly uncomfortable swab up my nose, potentially tapped my eyeball.
Oh,
yeah, it goes way in
out,
there.
Told me to roll up the window, and that was it.
So,
and then you drove away.
Pretty much.
Oh, my God. It sounds awful.
What was there, a line? There was just
there was no line whatsoever.
Because you need an appointment. What were your symptoms that you made you feel like? You haven't had contact with anybody or been overseas, right?
I am an athlete. Very much noticed that after I ran, I was coughing for a long time, which is highly abnormal for me. I had raging headaches. Just felt kind of crappy. Because of who I had contact with and things like that, my doctor decided that it would be prudent to get me tested.
And how long did they say it was going to take for you to get the results?
3 to 5 days.
So now you have to wait 3 to 5 days, and this whole time you have to sit in isolation at your house because you can't run the risk of infecting anybody, and you're not going to know for all that time.
Right. But we've also been in lockdown in my house since last Thursday.
So right. It's almost like going to get the test as a field trip.
Pretty much.
Right. All right. Well, Jess, I hope it comes back negative. Will you let us know what happens?
Of course. You guys wash your hands and stay healthy.
Thank you for the insight. Stay healthy.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Checking in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. How's it going?
Surviving. How are you?
I'm okay. I wasn't okay yesterday, but today I'm okay.
Did I tell you, honey, that 2 days ago, Anna, in the middle of an interview, decided she had coronavirus.
Right.
Was completely convinced that she had it.
Yep.
Next morning, she was over it. She was fine.
I was fine the next day.
Yeah, she took an allergy pill and she decided that But she decided it wasn't actually just her allergies, that she's already beaten coronavirus.
I have O-type blood. And according to everything I'm reading, if you have O-type, you're not as easily susceptible.
It's type O.
Type O.
Type O is what they call it. They don't call it. Nobody calls it O-type. What is that? O-type is a font or something.
O-town?
You sound like you're having more fun than anybody. I mean, listen to you two. It's probably the happiest I've heard the two of you together in a really long time. What are you doing there?
I think that we're just, we've reached a point where we have to start telling jokes to each other and having fun again because it's one serious conversation after another. You know, it's a lot of information that we want to get for people, but today we're having fun.
Well, lucky you.
It's all doom and gloom. This is going to escalate before it's going to go down. And we're seeing all the same news things as other people are. But I mean, how long are we going to be scared and afraid? We just have to do what we're told and try to live our lives the best we can.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so much fun. I mean, come February, 99% of us already have seasonal depression. And then the sun starts to come out and we're like, okay, this is almost over. And then nope, bam, coronavirus. Stay in your house.
Yeah.
Got a couple more months of this. It's awful.
How are you doing with being home and just kind of chilling out?
No, I'm not good. I'm very social, Anna. Ask my husband. I'm not good. I maybe showered 3 days ago.
No, you got to shower.
I mean, she's exaggerating now, but it was a couple days.
Right.
And that's out of sorts for her. She's not a moper. She typically gets up. She'll whine, but she doesn't mope. Mm. There's a distinct difference.
Before we had Hayden, when Paul and I were first married, we used to go on adventures. This is before navigation existed. And we would get in the car and we would just drive. And we would find all these hidden places and hidden things that we didn't know existed. And we used to call them our adventure drives.
Yeah, you were lost.
Lost on purpose. I'm bringing that back. I told my daughter, Hayden, we're starting to go on adventure drives. A 2-hour adventure.
2 hours?
2 hours. Like all those monuments that you never see because you don't care that much to see all of a sudden. It's like, get in the car. Guess where we're going.
If by monument you mean bar, then yes, I'm with you.
Well, I think it's sad when you have to drive by. One of our favorite local places that you could never get sangria to go will start selling jugs of it. I have got my whole Friday night planned based on that. We gonna drink it.
Now,
at
that's
home.
A silver lining right there.
It's gonna be the end of the adventure.
That does sound pretty good.
So how has Raven been handling the whole thing?
He's been good because he, you know, it's pretty much life is normal for him. You guys go to work. You get up and you get out of the house. I don't think it's affecting him as much as it is me.
No, I still have to go home. I mean, it's not as normal as it normally is. No, it's just different.
I used to be able to get out of work and I could not wait to get home.
Right.
And now it's a different kind of hesitation to go home because you know that once you get there, you can't leave.
Right.
Yeah.
You're stuck.
I mean, I really don't have anywhere to go, but the fact that I'm not allowed to go,
right.
I think that's the worst part of it.
Yeah. Anna feels the same way about Canada now.
I wanted to go to Canada. I thought about it, but every time I was like, nah, now it's like all I want to do is see those falls.
You can't have Canada, so you want to go so bad.
Right. Like Montreal is so beautiful this time of year, I think.
You don't even know. Who cares?
All right. What kind of grade do you want to give Raven for the week?
He's going to get an A. I don't even know what to, I can't even grade him.
Right.
Properly.
Food's in the house. Place is warm.
Right.
It's dry. I'm a hero.
Yeah.
Everybody's worried about their money. What's going on with your 401k? What about the tax deadline? Are we really getting checks back? It's Anna and Raven. Joining us, it's Russ Hackman from Hackman Wealth Partners.
Big time, yeah. The markets for retirees, their portfolios, younger people saving. There's angles for everybody.
It seems like it's changing hour by hour, but Russ, we're hearing about checks coming out from the government, extensions for taxes. What can you tell us? What do you know?
Yeah, what I've heard is that the Treasury is going to be giving us, it's either a 60 or 90-day extension for the filing of taxes and the payment of taxes that are due. I'm not sure they have complete clarity around mailing us all checks, but I'm sure you guys and I will be, you know, very glad to open one.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we're getting one because we're still on the phone working, so I don't think we're getting one.
But
it would be nice.
To me, it seems so unheard of. Do we all get money, or do you only, if you've lost your employment, do you know how that works?
I don't think they've locked down this notion of like giving everybody a check. I do know that they've extended unemployment benefits. The bigger questions that we're seeing out there are what's going on with my retirement portfolio? What should I be doing? That stuff we're puzzling through every day.
Russ, I'm one of those types where the money comes out of the check. It goes in there. I get balances that they send me in the emails, but I really have no idea what I'm doing. Should I even be opening up my 401k to take a look at it right now?
You know, for the average person who is working, continuing to contribute, it's a ironic thing that the market being down is a good thing. You know, you can sort of look at your existing portfolio and be like, well, it's a bummer that's down. But on the other hand, if your retirement is 10 plus years away, you know, if you were having $500, let's say, taken out of your check, that $500 this month is getting into the market at a lower price. And so when you retire, ultimately, you'll be better off having gone through this downturn.
Is it because we're getting like more shares? And so when the market comes back, we get more value?
That's exactly right. That works well for the folks who are 10 plus years out from retirement. And it's a little less optimal for those who are closer to or in retirement.
Russ Hackman from Hackman Wealth.
So what advice would you have? You know, we'll go both ways. Your job is being covered, even though you're working from home. Do you just go about business as usual and knowing that you're going to have a tax extension? You have a little more time to get your taxes done, and that's kind of all you need to know right now?
Or should we be investing further even?
You know, I don't think it's a time to sort of, you know, take your dry powder and jump into the market. I think, you know, at Hackman Wealth Partners, we tend to try to take the long-term view. And the long-term view is very much a function of where you are in your career and your age. We kind of split people up into the, let's call it 50, maybe 55 and younger. Those folks, I think it's business as usual, continue 401k contributions. I might even say if you're looking at the positioning of your 401k, you should be pretty heavily in equities. So if you're pretty conservative, I'd say get more aggressive now because the market just got cheaper. On the other hand, you know, if you are 55 plus still working or actually in retirement, generally speaking, I want to set myself up for the future so that my retirement income does not get smacked the next time something like this happens or if the markets go down another 20% from here.
Makes me want to throw up. And let's say I've lost my job.
You know, all you can really do is batten down the hatches. Everything's so specific with respect to any individual person's finances. If you have savings, if they're in the market, and now it's like, okay, I got to live off those savings more. You're going to need to get into some strategies and get some advice. Okay, what money can I live off on? What money should I be really not touching it as a last resort? So it's, I hate to not be able to give you a better answer, but it's pretty case dependent.
Russ, where do we find smart guys like you?
They can go to our website, which is HackmanWealth.com and reach out to us. That's Hackman Wealth, HackmanWealth.com.
All right, Russ, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you both. Have a great day.
I don't want you to be jealous, Raven, but I have super blood, and I'm not sure how you're going to handle that emotionally.
In all truth, I've spent the last 15 minutes looking for my blood type. I don't have any idea what my blood type is. Mm-hmm. I may not even need blood.
You probably don't even have it.
That's probably more superior to having the best blood is the lack of a need for blood.
I'm pretty sure you have blood. Sienna and Raven. According to a new study out of Wuhan, and that's where obviously the coronavirus started, they have found that people with blood type A are more vulnerable to getting the disease, and they had a higher rate of infection and tended to get more severe symptoms. But on the flip side, superpower blood, those with type O, the O type blood,
that's
significantly lower risk for the infectious disease compared to others.
Anna was calling her blood type O type for the last two days until I explained to her that it's actually type O.
All right. I was getting confused with the band O-Town. Remember that like pop band from the 90s?
Right. And you know why I remember it? Because there's a metal band called Type O. See that? So look at us.
Look at us.
Both the correlation with music there. So here's the thing that you didn't realize, though. So you have this superior blood. And I may have some of that blood, too. I just don't know.
Doubtful.
I just don't know. I mean, I've looked through these tests here, and I can't read. How many patient portals do we really need? I've logged into four.
Yep.
Four different patient portals, and I still can't figure out how to read any of these test results.
I didn't know I had superior blood until I had my last baby. That's because I paid attention, and I was like, oh, I have O. And everyone should know their blood type.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. They should know it. Grandparents used to wear bracelets that told it, and they could recite it in a moment's notice, you know, with a question.
Can you make me a bracelet that says that I have superpower O-type blood?
Just relax yourself, okay? All I'm saying is you need to watch more post-apocalyptic movies, all right? Because in Mad Max, you would see that those that have the good blood type, they're marked for donors. And what I mean by donor is, if I catch you roaming the desert, I can strap you to the front of my post-apocalyptic vehicle.
Okay.
And then I can put a drain vein in you, and then I just hook that right up to myself. And that gives me...
Oh, now you're going to steal my superpower blood.
That's right. Oh, that's right. I just keep you alive long enough to keep me going, too.
Other interesting bit. In the United States, 44% of the population is type O, while 41% is type A, which is probably what Raven has. In Wuhan... which the population is 11 million.
Yeah.
Only 32% of people are O-type.
Oh, man.
So they were, like, marked from the beginning.
Right.
I guess.
Right.
Right.
O-type, type O.
Type O. Right. O-type. O-town. But in all serious note, you should donate blood if you can, because a lot of the blood banks have been really struggling lately. So definitely look into your local blood donor places. They're saying they're down by tremendous amounts and they need the blood.
A healthy person, one donation can help as many as three people, save as many as three lives.
Yep.
So get out there and donate. That is a very serious thing.
Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Hospital. We got a lot of questions. It's Anna and Raven.
Doctor, at this point, the information comes so fast, like it's confusing. We don't know what's real and what isn't. What are you seeing at Griffin Hospital?
Right now, I could tell you that there's a lot of rule outs because the case definition from the CDC is anyone who has a fever, shortness of breath, or cough means that we're testing a lot of people to make sure that they don't have COVID-19. So it's pretty hectic here.
What I'm reading is testing, identifying the sick, tracing where that originated, and isolating those around it makes a huge difference.
That's absolutely correct. And as you know, we've had a limited amount of tests. So if you look at the tests that were sent for the entire country last Monday, we had only sent out 5,000, and that was it. Thank God we're up to about 60,000, and I know it's ramping up after that. So we're going to be able to identify a lot more people. But this is also scary to people because all of a sudden they keep hearing, oh my God, someone else has COVID-19.
The numbers can be scary. We keep hearing about being in front of this wave. How well prepared do you think that we are at this point?
You know, I think we've been taking a lot of precautions through our hospital and the hospitals across the state to make sure that we're ready for any pandemic like this. I could tell you over the last several months, we've been ramping up knowing what was going on in China. But again, you could only be so prepared for this sort of movement and having this many people who could potentially have a disease. Because we don't have all the testing and don't know who's positive, we don't know sort of what this wave actually looks like. And that's really important to know.
Self-isolation, shelter in place, quarantine. It feels like we should be stuck at home, but we could go out. We could go for walks or go for drives, right?
That's absolutely right. In fact, I would recommend going for a walk. We want some social separation, you know, you want to have some social distancing, but you don't want to be socially isolated. That's not a good thing for people, especially for the elderly who are the vulnerable population. And if you're breathing out the virus, it's very sensitive to UV light. So if it's a sunny day, the UV light pretty much eliminates this virus. Now, that only counts if it's being shed from someone, not if you actually have it. So tanning booths are not going to are not going to eliminate the infection. Just
I was just
so
about
clear.
To say, Dr. Brown said for me to go tanning. And
I did not hear that.
No.
Doctor, we're seeing that some offices are asking you to reschedule appointments, elective surgeries, but people should still come to the ER, like if they need stitches or whatever. We're not encouraging people to sew ourselves up with fishing lines if we have an accident in the kitchen, right?
Exactly. This is not the viral apocalypse. When we talk about elective surgery from a hospital standpoint, what you're talking about is things that don't need to be done emergently or urgently. But if you have a patient that, let's say, God forbid, they have a nodule on their lung that could be cancerous, that is considered elective, but that would still be considered urgent. We want to make sure that we're making sure that everybody's safe. I mean, we don't want to stop everything, but we want to be careful about that. So each case is looked at. I know I could speak for our hospital and several other hospitals. We're being very cautious of the purely elective, the things that could be put off, but we want to make sure that we're not putting things off for months, because it's important to get screening. It's important to follow up with certain things. And again, anything that's urgent or emergent absolutely should be going to the emergency department, where we can manage that and make sure that anyone who comes in with respiratory symptoms is put into a separate area and everyone who comes in is protected.
Dr. Brown, one last question. We got this on our Facebook page and I thought it was a good one. What medicine can you take to feel comfortable if you actually do get the virus? If you're anything like me, this is allergy season. So, but now I'm like on hyper alert and I think that everything is that who knows what I have? I shouldn't be taking medicine. Like, what do you suggest to do?
This is a viral illness that our bodies have not seen before. So my recommendation is eating right, exercising, and try to keep the stress down. And hopefully eating right and exercise helps you with that. But again, if you're overstressed, that hurts your immune system. So you need to make sure that we're very careful about it.
Dr. Fred Brown, Griffin Health Chief Medical Officer, thank you for taking the time this morning. We know you got your hands full.
My pleasure.
Thank you, doctor.
Can't beat Raven.
Know your pop culture and win. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Nicole,
can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Nicole.
All right, Nicole.
Thank you.
We're not going to let the coronavirus stop us from having some fun. Here's how it works. Raven's walking out of the studio. He can't hear us now. That door is closed. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, we're going to give you a $100 gift card to Dunkin'. You ready?
Yes.
Number 1, you can now take a virtual tour of 12 museums that are closed because of the virus. And that includes MoMA in New York City. What does MoMA stand for?
Museum of, I listened last night. Hold on. Museum of something art. Oh my God, why am I drawing a blank? I listened to you last night.
Ah, you listened to the cheat sheet. That's all right. We'll go on to the next one. Number 2, Gal Gadot rallied celebrities to sing John Lennon's Imagine. Besides John Lennon, who else was in the Beatles?
Ringo Starr, George Harrison. Should I keep going?
And the last one, yep.
That's me, Mama. Ringo, what's his name? John Lennon, Ringo Starr, George Harrison, and forget it.
Okay, number 3, Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost were spotted in the Hamptons where they've escaped. Colin is the head writer on what late night variety show?
Colbert. What is his name? I can't think of this damn thing. I wasn't expecting you to pick up the phone.
You got to get ready. That's all right, Nicole. Just have some fun. Number 9, the famous Cannes Film Festival has been postponed. What country hosts Cannes?
Dubai.
And number 5, GameStop intends to stay open in spite of warnings because they believe that they are essential stores. What 2 colors are the GameStop logo?
GameStop. What is that? Red and blue. It's red and yellow. I don't know.
All right. Let me bring Raven back in. Here's the good news, Nicole. You're going to get an Ann on Raven t-shirt no matter what. Okay.
Excuse me.
Did you cough?
Yeah, I got a little popcorn down the wrong pipe.
Oh, yeah. All right. I see you eating, shoving popcorn down your throat. Nicole didn't get any right.
Oh, well, Nicole, thank you for playing.
But she even listened to the cheat sheet to get it right.
Well, Nicole, there's not a lot of excuses for that right now, but I understand it's an overload of information at this time.
There's
of your
a
life.
Lot going on.
I'm happy to take advantage of your ineptitude.
Number 1, you can now take a virtual tour of 12 museums that are closed because of the virus, and that includes MoMA in New York City. What does MoMA stand for?
Museum of Modern Art.
Modern art is correct.
We're all right.
Number 2.
I forgot that word.
Yeah, it's all right. Gal Gadot rallied celebrities to sing John Lennon's Imagine. Besides John Lennon, who else was in the Beatles?
Ringo Starr, George Harrison, and, Paul McCartney.
Yep. Number three, Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost were spotted in the Hamptons where they've escaped. Colin is a head writer on what late night variety show?
SNL.
That's right.
They've escaped.
Yep. Number four, I read this article that the Hamptons regulars, they want people to stop going there.
Right.
They're like telling all the rich people, stay wherever you are.
Right,
we don't
right.
want you here.
We're bunkering down.
Number four, the famous Cannes Film Festival has been postponed. What country hosts Cannes?
France.
And number five, GameStop intends to stay open in spite of warnings because they believe they are an essential store. What two colors are the GameStop logo?
They are red and white.
That is correct. I'm sorry, Nicole. He beat you 5-0 this morning.
That's okay. I'm Nicole Finn. Can't beat Raven.
Well, thank you for playing. Hold on. We're going to get your info. We'll send you a t-shirt, okay?
Better luck next time.
Make sure you're listening in the 5 o'clock hour today. The cheat sheet will give you the first two answers to Monday's 5 pop culture questions. Three things you need to know this hour. It's Anna and Raven. Number one, Raven, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the U.S. top infectious disease expert, talked about the coronavirus vaccine that everybody's all pumped about.
2 days ago, we gave the first injection to a normal volunteer to see if it's safe.
Right. We know that. But here's the thing. A common misconception is, all right, cool. Now we see what happens. And then we all get the vaccine. Not so much. That's only phase one. And then there's phase two. And then there's phase three. And how long is this all going to take?
It's going to take a year to a year and a half to know if we have a vaccine that we can use.
But I keep hearing about like all these different methods that they're trying to use instead of the vaccine.
Sure.
And there's a new term that we can add to the Anna and Raven Core coronavirus dictionary. Ready? Convalescent serum. I have heard it 7,000 times in the last 24 hours.
What is it?
It's taking blood of someone that already had the virus and injecting it into somebody that, like, because I guess you've built antibodies. And then taking that blood and putting in somebody that's affected or someone that doesn't have it, and you become superhuman.
No,
I think.
I'm going to let doctors do this. All right, let's just leave this to the doctors. Don't go taking any blood. Okay, good.
No. But I'm saying that's what they're doing. I guess we should not be injecting each other with blood. No.
I guess they are actually getting some headway with some drugs that have been out there to use to treat Ebola and malaria.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is a pill that's been in circulation for 50, 60 years, and the other one is an IV type thing that hasn't been approved.
Yep.
We have records on the one that's been used to treat malaria, but they're using that as possibly a way to keep people that are treating people that have it already now from getting it, making them more resistant. So, you know, some of these things are going to work in different ways. The hope is to refine them after 5-6 months.
Two things you need to know this hour. U.S. State Department has set a level 4 travel advisory. That's a big, big deal, saying not to travel internationally. Now, what does the advisory say?
It warns, quote, if you choose to travel internationally, your plans may be severely disrupted and you may be forced to remain outside of the U.S. for an indefinite time frame.
They're saying we ain't get you back. You leave, you ain't coming back.
We're not coming to get you.
We're not coming to get you. You're on your own.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a fair warning. You've been warned. If you make decisions like that, you have to, you know, you have to handle your own situations at that point.
I think it's really important, too, that we remember that if you have travel plans that are not immediate in the next week, chill out on calling all the airlines because they're so bombarded with phone calls right now. That
they don't even have answers for you.
They don't know what to do, especially if you're traveling in the next 72 hours. That's when you should be on the phone. Otherwise, just like hold off a week. I keep getting all these messages being like, please, we can't handle it. And the third big story today, NASA officials are warning against coronavirus crooks. What are they doing?
A 49% increase on our phone scams year to date. That's a big number. There was a bunch of low-life people out there that sit and wait and pray in times of crisis.
Am I the only one that thinks, like, right now rules don't apply, we find these people, we can just basically do whatever we want to them?
I mean, that right there, that voice, that sounds like me and him in an alley knocking somebody's kneecaps off. Like,
seriously.
I mean, right? He's like,
oh,
these low-lives, he's going to take somebody
out.
He's
mad about it. I'm mad about it, too.
Get out of here. Don't be caught by that guy.
They're prying on the elderly, and this is what they're
doing. Yeah.
Someone said this is a coronavirus hotline and I need your personal Medicare information.
And in another case,
someone was calling her, pretending to be her local bank, saying that her local branch was closing and that they needed all of her banking information.
It's terrible.
Listen, right now, if you're a coronavirus crook, be on warning.
Yeah, we'll
rules
find
don't
you.
Apply right now.
Don't be found in Long Island.
Biologist, physiotherapist, Nikki Snazel with Anna and Raven.
Good morning, doctor. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, despite all the chaos.
So much chaos. I found it interesting that you're an immune system expert, because I think a lot of ways we don't know what to do besides wash our hands. Like, how many times can you tell people just to stop touching your face? What other steps can we do to avoid getting the coronavirus?
Do you know, there is so much we can do, and the exciting thing for me is that people are finally going, I didn't realize these kind of things were so important. If we think about our gut, we've got to feed good bacteria, because our gut has a lot of bacteria. We are about 30 or 40 trillion cells, and most of our cells are healthy gut bacteria and not so healthy bacteria. So if we eat the wrong stuff and we feed the bad guys, then we get what we call a leaky gut. And that means that stuff gets out, seeps out through our gut, and our immune system goes on red alert and is so busy dealing with that, they don't see these sneaky little viruses getting through our eyes or our cheeks or our arms. Because it's great that we clean our hands, and we should always clean our hands, but viruses can get in all sorts of places. As soon as they get through, if we've got good soldiers waiting, then we can smack these viruses.
It's amazing how she's talking about a terrible toxic ooze seeping out of our bodies, and it still sounds awesome because you have that killer British accent.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to be fine. She's got the accent.
So what are natural ways that we can combat this?
The small things you can do, just simply by cutting down on processed food and sugar. If you imagine ancient man, if we went back thousands of years, what did we eat then? Our bacteria decides what we eat. They actually dictate to us. So if we give our bodies good vitamins and minerals, good healthy plant material, less meat, less processed sugary stuff, we feed the good guys. One of the keys was just eating really good, healthy stuff that you would take out of the ground that hasn't been processed.
So we keep hearing, you know, stock up, and a lot of the grocery stores are bare because so many people have gone and they've bought all
this
stuff.
It's the worst of the food that's left.
Right. So basically, it's like you're down to Tostitos and Doritos. What do you do in
squeeze cheese?
What do you do in situations like that to try to curb this?
Well, if you've got vitamins and minerals, start putting seeds in the ground. We start growing some of our own little leafy salads and vegetables. It grows in a pot quite quickly. Within days, you see the little seed heads up. So you could literally, within a week or two, you've got some of your own food, like we used to. You know, if you've got some rice and you've got pasta or something, you can quite easily cook up something really healthy and a bit of olive oil on top. That's got lots of nutrients in it. It's just thinking back to what we used to do.
They say that laughter is the best medicine, and I feel like we keep getting messages back to us being like, please just be you. Please just make us laugh, because that's what we need right now. Do you think that's true?
It is true. They've done research where they take little saliva samples of when you watch a funny film and when you watch a depressing film, and your immune system is different in the samples. You actually change your immune system by the messages you give your brain. So laughing also makes you take deep breaths. And if we take deep breaths, our brain goes, we can't be scared. We can't be stressed. And if we're not stressed, then our immune system is firing on all cylinders. One of the quickest ways to get ill, and again, we've got research to back it up, is to get stressed about things. And at the moment, all our patients are hearing about is, oh, the end of the world is here, and doom and gloom, and if someone sneezes on you, you could die. And, you know, and we make them giggle and go, well, no, actually, if you've got a healthy immune system, you're going to be just fine. And this is what you can do. Simple habits.
Nikki Snazel, she's the author of 4 Keys to Health. And if people want to visit you online, where can they go?
They can just Google my name, Snazel, S-N-A-Z-E-L-L, painreliefclinic.co.uk. There's lots of free advice. We do newsletters on it all the time for free. And I've got a series of books that are out there on Amazon just to help people keep safe.
Nikki, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. It's good to talk to you. Keep doing this wonderful work.